Welcome to Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers. Every week, I'll be talking to different business people, artists, sports people, and other personalities about things that they've done in their life and things that they want to do. Join me and dig deep. Welcome to this week's Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Steve Bonello, who's an illustrator and cartoonist. You'll have seen his work in the Times of Malta. So, Steve, that is a fun job.
Is it? Yes, it normally is. Except when a few years back people started killing cartoonists.
Ah, of course. Ah.
Wasn't pretty, was it?
No, that's true.
But on the whole, yes it is. I would say it's the best job in the world when you have a good week with stuff to choose, or I don't know. Some weeks are bad and some weeks nothing happens in Malta. On the other hand, I always think that a cartoon is there on whatever subject under the sun. It's just a case of being, let's put it this way, an invisible fruit in an invisible tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your job to pluck it out.
Okay.
And it isn't easy. Sometimes you hit bang. Sometimes you don't.
And how much time do you get to do a piece of work? Because obviously you work for a newspaper, or you submit to a newspaper, so that's,
yeah,
it has to be quite rapid. You don't have too much time to think about it.
Yes, that's a fact. Sometimes doing the cartoon might take anything from 1 hour to six, if it's complicated. But the real, shall we say, hassle is the thinking process behind it. And sometimes a cartoon evolves even within the same week. I change captions or I change things, stuff around. You always try to do your best to pull it off.
So do you sort of see the image first and then the caption comes as your drawing, or is it the other way around? You have the caption and you have to create your characters?
No, usually it starts as an image in my head, I would say.
And you have complete freedom to do that, or is it something the editor says, this is the story we're focusing, or you just get to pull out?
No, the one great thing about the Times, they let me do whatever I want.
How wonderful.
I love that.
I think it's important as an artist as well, no?
Yes, it is. Mm. Yes, it is. Censorship isn't nice in cartooning, but I'll be very honest, in 26 years or so, I've had about two or three censored cartoons.
What, do they put like a little black line over the rude parts,
they,
or it actually
they,
gets taken
they
out?
Don't publish.
Ah, okay.
In the last case, I actually got the cartoon published in an anniversary issue a year later, but at the time, the image being of an ISIS beheading, which had just happened the previous week, it was thought as too strong for a Maltese audience, and
that was taken out. But I think the whole point of, you know, these illustrations and cartoons within newspapers are, it's an immediate visual of the biggest story that week. No, it should.
I choose my stories. Sometimes the stories I think of as big might not be big, but yet what a lot of stuff is happening, or one story in particular is, you know, what is being read. Yes, I do try to make my opinion on that subject, whatever my opinion is.
So when, you know, stories come out during the week, do you sort of already start thinking, this could happen, or you wait and you say, okay, on Thursdays I'm going to start my piece?
At worst, I've stopped the cartoon on Friday and said, please let me do a cartoon on Saturday morning, and I'll submit it by Saturday afternoon. it was a scandal happening, I think, 2 years back.
And it really develops quite quickly, so you need to know.
Yes, it was a very fast.
And that's with print, you literally have a deadline.
Concerning a Central American country.
Ah, I see, yes.
You make the connection.
With the nice hats.
Yes.
So how did you actually get into cartooning, illustrating in the very, very, very first place?
You mean the Times, or?
Way back.
How
did you know you could do it?
I started drawing, I think, around 1980 or thereabouts, which makes me quite dated. But sometime, I don't remember the day, the year exactly, it must have been 84 or 85, I saw Ralph Steadman at the South Bank in London.
Okay.
And the show was called Between the Eyes. I went to see it quite by coincidence, just because there was a fireworks display at the South Bank, and I wandered in, and I said, well, I've never seen something like this. So I went back tomorrow, got the book, obviously. The thing I realized about Ralph Steadman was that cartoons aren't just things that, you know, raise a laugh, but they can be actually violent, you know, and they can be all sorts of stuff. You can tell whole stories with them. The best cartoons, and I'm not talking about myself, can rank with the best art. And I definitely put Ralph Steadman in that category. It's a great art.
Yeah. So did you keep following his work today and still...
I try. I have probably all his books by now.
Okay.
It's an addiction. British cartoonists are probably among the world's best.
They have a lot of material as well.
They do. They're well provided. Yeah.
And so you sort of started that, but you have like a particular style, these particular shape of characters. How did they come about? Are they people that you saw? Are they just something, or people you didn't see, so you thought you could do them to not be recognizable?
My characters come out of doodles, actually.
Okay.
I doodle, I draw faces, I draw sometimes 3 days drawing and nothing comes out. And then a decent character comes out and I say, there's a possibility here. What could this guy or this woman be? And maybe I add sketches and stuff like that, and finally I see a composition or a story to tell, sort of. I consider most of my illustration stuff as storytelling, you know?
I do too, in fact, when I see it. You almost wonder what's going to happen next for them, sort of.
Yeah.
In their world. So you sort of started doodling and creating work, and then how did that become from a bit of doodling to a job?
Well, long story. Well, 1991, I had my second exhibition, and I wanted someone to do a write-up for me. And usually, you go to an art critic to write. I didn't want to go that way. So there was this new columnist at that time. Mm-hmm. She was called Daphne Caruana Galizia.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard of her.
Yes.
And I actually got her address from somewhere, I don't remember who, and I wrote a letter, because in those days we wrote letters.
In the good old days.
Yeah. And she did a write-up for me, a very good write-up for the exhibition, pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
And she also invited me. She said, would you like to draw something for my column in the Times? And I said, it's not a bad idea to do it for a couple of months to finance the exhibition. A couple of months sort of, you know, got into something like 26 years now.
Wow, so that was 1991 that started?
1991, yeah.
Wow, okay. And you've been submitting pretty much every week, no?
So yeah, I think I haven't missed a week, actually.
There you go. It's a good work record. But in between times, you've done a couple of other things. You didn't just, you know, your one cartoon a week can't sustain.
No. I worked for 30 or 31 years at Terremoto.
Okay.
Until 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And...
not drawing cartoons?
No.
No?
No. Scheduling is very different.
Ah, I see. Okay.
But, you know, Terremoto, I used to think I would die at Terremoto. Mm-hmm. My last working day would be at Terremoto. And then this sort of early retirement scheme came up, and I bothered to ring. What's in it for me? I put the phone down and talked to my colleague, and I said, Joe, I'm going out of here.
Mm.
He said, you're not. Ah. I said, I'm real.
And so you took that?
Yes.
And then what did you do after that then? Did you actually do a bit of retirement, or did you...
No, I didn't. it was just 3 days, and I was lucky to land another job.
Okay.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, as it turned out, that other job lasted for all of a year and a half, and I was made redundant. So I sort of panicked at the time. I hadn't reached 55 when the benefits of the early retirement scheme would kick in.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I tried to apply for various jobs, but you realize that at 52, no one's looking at you. They're just looking at your age. And
not your experience. Huh?
Yeah. So I embarked on freelancing from home, and I survived.
Uh-huh. So that was freelancing with illustrations mainly, or?
Mainly illustrations, and sometimes an interesting job or two come up, like CD design, for example.
Okay. Yeah. So what sort of thing? What, music CDs?
Yeah. I did a job with a band called Caferna 2 years ago, and it was a lovely job working with lovely people. I've done a couple of book illustrations and all that. So, in a way, you keep the wheel turning without getting bored and remaining active.
And current, yeah, I suppose.
Laziness, you know, is the fast way to the grave, in my opinion.
And especially in freelancing, if you're only as good as your last job, they always say. So
I suppose
you have to keep up there and
keep
them knowing that you're still out there, still doing what you do.
Exactly.
And available for that type of work.
And so, unbelievably, as I was telling you before, these last 4 years have been very, very interesting in their own way. You don't make as much money as a full-time job and a part-time job, obviously. But the rewards, I would say, are more, are much more. I've met some lovely people, I've worked with some lovely people, and I've had a couple of great opportunities as well. 2 years ago, I was invited to Strasbourg to take part in an exhibition with some of Europe's best cartoonists. And we also attended the Sakharov Prize, which was awarded to Raif Badawi in his absence. And I can tell you that that came about through my page on Facebook.
Wow, okay.
So, you know, when these things happen, and you meet one of your cartoonist heroes as well, Steve Bell, among others, and some other wonderful cartoonists and illustrators from all over Europe, that's priceless. That's something money cannot buy.
And they're the sort of things that if you were, you know, stuck in your day job, so to speak, rather than, you would never get to do because you're being too sensible.
Exactly.
So you didn't really choose the path of freelancer, but it kind of came to you and you were making the most of it.
Yes. Unfortunately, it took a push in the backside to do it, yes.
But now you would actually recommend the lifestyle to people to actually, if they've got their dream to be a full-time artist or to be something else, to check it's sustainable or to still be doing something?
It will never be easy, perhaps, but I'd say to anyone who's thinking seriously about it, go for it.
Just go for it, because you can always go back to the day job.
You can always go back to the day job, but go for it.
No.
I know a few people who, from a very young age, said, I will not be stuck in the 9-to-5 life, and they've succeeded. Most of the people I've got to know who have done this have succeeded. And they work hard at it, and they will get there.
But it's doing, because it's not just doing the job you're good at. So, you know, you're a fantastic illustrator, but you have to do the marketing yourself, marketing of your work yourself.
Yes, you have to do that.
Yourself. It's not just, there's
you
no one else to do that for you.
I wouldn't be sitting here otherwise.
This is true. But no, you have a huge following on Facebook, for example.
Well,
and you do
your 5,000, huge.
it's a genuine following. People with big followings are normally bought likes. So it's, yours are genuine. And I think that's something to be very
proud as well.
Of.
It's hard work.
It is
as
constant.
Well.
It's constant.
But again, if you are freelancing, you want your work to get out there. So again, a lot of people I know hate doing self-promotion. It goes with the territory.
You have to do it. Yeah.
You have to do it.
It's
all
like
the time.
Filing an account. I hate doing filing an account, but
that's
as a freelancer, you're the one that has to do it. No one else there to do it. Until you get to the stage that you can pay someone else to do it, you still have to do it. are there things you think you've missed out on being a freelancer, though, or is it, you know, illustrations the way to go, or do you do other works, or is cartooning?
I do a bit of writing.
Okay,
but very little. Very little. I wouldn't like to say I'd like to shun it, because sometimes I do love writing about places in Malta, which have a very special attraction to me. I shouldn't be publicizing them, but I don't make the directions easy. But there are a few places in Malta which are really special.
You get to
the sort of places where you can walk for 2-3 hours and normally don't encounter a soul. And that's something quite awesome.
You could do a secret book and people have to pay a fortune to be
that's
able to
idea.
Read it.
That's
there
an
you
idea.
Go. This is my job, just to give people ideas. Yeah.
Okay.
But no, that would be a nice, you know, a really secret. A proper secret guide to Malta. There you go. There's another revenue stream.
All right.
So what else, apart from illustrating, does one do with one's time? Do you think in pictures all the time, or do you obviously like to trek and to walk as well?
Yes, that's the winter part of me. I sometimes take a bus to Rabat, walk all the way to Eindhoven. If I need a shorter walk, it's Rabat to Attard. Mm. And then sometimes I wander, I walk from Attard all the way to Marsa-Schlock, for example.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
That's quite a long one.
5 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then 2 hours buses back home.
I would have said 2 hours lunch.
No.
No.
I don't do lunch on those.
Oh, see, I'm not coming for a walk with you then.
Okay.
But have you got any ambitions? Would you like to do a north to south walk, or are there other ambitions that you have for your free time?
Not really. I think I know most places in Malta.
Ah, okay.
There's hardly anywhere I haven't been. But you keep on discovering. Like this year, I was seeing these couple of clay caves of Jnina.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I saw a photo of them at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted the photographer. He's not Maltese. Gilbert Vansell, the photographer.
Okay.
And I said, how the hell did you get down there? He said, it's quite easy. You can go at night. I carry my stuff. If this guy can do it at night, I can do it in the morning. And getting there and arriving at this wonderful, wonderful place was just awesome.
Mm.
You know, it's a sense of discovery. I've lived on this island for 56 years and I've never been to the spot.
How?
And I think a lot of Maltese miss out on such places.
There's a lot of places. I've only been here 10 years, but, you know, you turn left or right in your own village, you can go down a street
yes,
you haven't been
true.
Down.
So that's true.
To go to more remote parts takes a bit more energy, yeah, actually.
It does.
Ah.
But there are still some wonderful places in Malta, yeah.
So outside of Malta, do you do a lot of trekking? Do you travel much?
Travel is mostly now reduced to once, twice a year. Mm-hmm. It used to be about 4 times when I was back in Malta, but half of it was business related.
So the types of places you like to go to, is there dream places you think, well, one day when I've got the time, I want to go and do that or see that, walk that, eat that?
I still want to go to the Falklands.
Yes, okay.
But
it's a bit of an uncomfortable plane, I think.
When they reduce the flying time to 2 hours,
it's
too far away.
New Concorde. Yeah. Can't you go to Argentina and then go sideways?
It's too far away.
Really, still?
I hate flying these days. Anything more than 2 hours is...
I had a friend that was supposed to be
there. I've done too much flying in my time. Too much intercontinental stuff. I'm done with that. I can't stand...
They're not a cruise, no, maybe?
No. That's for old people.
Maybe one day.
The idea scares me.
Ah, because there you are quite far off.
I'll take my first cruise, then it's my time to die. Probably.
I should look out for that.
Thanks.
So what things do you want to do before that day, before your last cruise? Are there things on your bucket list?
I love Europe. Mm. I could travel to Europe anytime. One of the last things on my bucket list was done this year. After 31 years, I returned to Madrid,
mm-hmm.
and I vowed never to go to Madrid again. The reason was simple. The only time I'd been to Madrid, the Prado was on strike. I think it was the only time in the 20th century the Prado was on strike for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So going back was something quite awesome, because I wanted to see Goya, because it's the only place to see the real Goya, And that's the loveliest painting in the world as well, Roger van der Weyden's Deposition. I went to see it 3 times in the 2-3 hours I spent at the Prado, and the 3rd time I cried.
Ah.
And I don't mind telling you that. It's just out of this world.
I'm going to have to look at it now, refresh
you have.
My memory.
You have to see it in
real life.
Flesh or canvas. But it's awesome.
Ah.
I'd also like to revisit the National Gallery in Oslo. Because I love Munch, and I remember that they had one large hall with about 30 of the best munches in the world. And I mean, it's like being in a temple. It's something out of this world.
Yeah. So there, when you travel, then you go to galleries as one of your main loves.
Yes, galleries and churches.
Mm-hmm.
If possible, I do some trekking. But usually I don't drive when I'm abroad. I hate driving here. But a few years back, we did a trek in the Cinque Terre in Italy. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we planned on the seaside part, which was closed because of rock falls, and we had to climb about 1,000 feet to start the other trek. But after climbing that bit...
So the Cinque Terre, how long did you spend there?
Just one day.
Ah, okay. And how far did you go in your one day?
7-8 kilometers, not more.
Mm, okay.
Not more.
Did that include a lunch?
No. Just water after the 1,000 feet climb. You need water.
After that, yeah.
You need water.
And then you started another trek after the climb, or that was...
It was 1,000 feet down.
Uh-huh.
Which is actually much worse.
Really?
Yes.
I thought that would have been the fun bit.
Because your legs become rubbery. It's something that happened to me another time when I climbed down, I think, 999 steps in a place called Nafplio in Greece. When you go down those that quantity of steps, your legs become rubbery. I think it's quite normal, but it's not a pretty feeling, you know.
Right. Are there other, or if you could recommend one trek to somebody, where would that be?
In Malta?
Which is your wherever? Which is your favourite? Not a 25 miler, a sort of a nice doable one.
I think one of the loveliest is Erdumtal Vigario in Malta.
Yeah? I don't actually even know where that is.
Oh. It's where you park at Mijra Ferha.
You see, no, I don't know where
you
that
don't
is
know
either.
Mijra Ferha. Uh-huh. That's where they do the hill climbs right after Imtahle.
Okay, Imtahle I know, okay.
And then you walk to your right until you get to about an hour or so away. There's a flat rock called Il Blata Tal Melh, the salt rock, because there are salt pens on
and,
it.
Okay.
It's one of the loveliest.
And is that a sort of a sunrise type of walk, or is that a sunset, or any time of time, any time of day?
Sunset would be fantastic there. I've been there at sunset.
Uh-huh.
But any time of the day in spring is
beautiful.
Just beautiful.
Uh-huh.
It's just beautiful.
So remind us the name of the place itself?
Blata Tal Melh. Most people know of it.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, let's know where it is.
Ruined was a rise. So, what else would you like to do in your lifetime on a either professional or
perhaps
personal
another
basis?
Exhibition to mark my 60th year on Earth or something like that?
Uh-huh.
But I would definitely probably need a curator or someone to help me with that, because it would be too much time wasted running after people and stuff.
You'd rather concentrate being the artist?
Yeah, because it's what I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love organising stuff.
You sound like an artist to me, yes?
Yeah. I play the part.
There you go. You play it well, sir. So, and any other things? So an exhibition in the next 2 or 3 years, then that makes it?
I have no idea. If it's 60, that gives me 4 years.
Four, then, okay, you have a 4-year countdown. Any walks you'd like to do? Great Wall of China?
Great Wall of China, no.
Okay. Is that because it's too sort of polluted by people?
Yeah, probably.
Probably,
I still think that the loveliest country in the world is Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to do some trekking there.
More trekking there.
Not necessarily long treks, but I still really believe that Italy just has its... all.
Its own
it
magic.
It has everything.
Uh-huh. That's it.
That's it.
That's it there. And any other things, any random things on your bucket list? Just to wrap up?
This sounds boring, but I don't have a bucket list, actually.
No, because you've done most of the things by the sounds of things. You've been to major galleries, been to some fascinating walks.
Yes, in a way, yes. I don't want to make it sound like I've done it all. I haven't.
But you've done what you want to do.
Yes.
Which is what it's all about.
Exactly, and I think I'm very lucky to be living the freelance life. I think even though it happened late in life, relatively, I think I'm very lucky with that.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom to work from home, the freedom not to drive to work. Sometimes when you've been at it for a time, you don't appreciate how big these things are, you know? And I have friends who tell me, damn it, you're lucky. And deep down I think, yes, damn it, I am.
Mm. And you can work when you if you want to work at 2 a.m, you can.
You can as well.
Mm. No, yes. That's the thing I like the best, actually. And lunch, obviously. Nobody checking it's exactly an hour and you don't have a vending machine to live
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
You have your whole kitchen to play with, which is just heaven.
I don't do cooking, by the way.
Maybe that should be on your bucket list.
Basic pasta, stop stir.
Well, that's it from Steve Bonello. That's this week's guest on The Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers.
Thank you for joining me and my guest on this week's Bucket List. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Grec, the engineers of this programme.